Good day, world. This is Maria Liberati, and welcome to my podcast, The Maria Liberati Show, where food meets art, travel, and life. Lots of recipes, culinary stories, travels, and more from my Gourmand World award-winning book series and blog, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. I can officially be called a Philadelphia Italian market baby. You see, I was inspired early on at the age of 4 by my shopping trips to the Italian market in Philly with my grandfather to get fresh breads, cheeses, pasta, vegetables, and fruits for our large, unforgettably flavorful Sunday dinners. Fast forward to a trip to Italy for my modeling career that became a 20-year life-changing experience that included learning old-world winemaking, cheesemaking at my family's vineyards and farm, studying the culinary arts, truffle hunting, having my portrait done by a famous Italian artist, working with some remarkable Italian chefs, doing culinary programs at some of Italy's most beautiful resorts and vineyards, creating my book series and trademark, appearing on Italian TV, and having my blog about Mozart featured in the National Museum of Vienna, Austria. And my 300,000 blog subscribers can attest to all this. I'm looking forward to having you as a special guest during my podcast with other interesting, fun, and entertaining special guests where we will be making a connection through food to art, travel, and life. Hope to see you then. Today, my special guest is Amy Guber, and she's become a regular. So she is a travel expert, and she tells us about these wonderful places to visit. She also heads a women's travel group called Wandering Women that is especially geared to women. But today she's going to tell us about another special place that you may not have visited. I actually have never been to this place. So Amy, I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really look forward to these sessions that you and I have been having regularly. So it's great. It's so fun. And hopefully your audience is learning also. So yeah, so I run a women's travel group, which is called Wandering Women. Mm-hmm. And the goal of that, just to do a little aside, is that there's a lot of women that want to travel that either don't have someone to go with or want to travel more than their spouse or friends want to. And they sort of don't want to do that solo travel where they go to a big group and they don't know anyone. So I create a group and the women get to know each other, and I'm there through every single meal, every activity. Exactly. And they leave close friends. It's just unbelievable. So today, it's been a wonderful experience, I think, for everyone. And in fact, the trip I'm going to talk about today is we went to San Juan this past February. So like not even maybe 6 months ago. And the next trip that I'm planning for beginning of 2025, half of those women are coming on the next one. So it's a group of 10. So I'm only using it as an illustration that they really make good connections and they enjoy it.
Exactly. You
know? So today we're going to talk about, we're going to go to San Juan.
So you're talking mainly about San Juan?
Yes. Okay. So we wanted to go to Puerto Rico. We live in New England, and so it's cold here in the winter. So we went in February, and it was a great warm weather getaway. So I'll tell you what we did and where we stayed so that if any of your listeners are thinking of planning a trip, they can be sure to include some of these things. Mm-hmm. So we stayed at the Fairmont Hotel. It's called the Fairmont El San Juan, and it's close to the airport. It's right on the beach. I'm a beach girl. So you know, we were able to enjoy the beach and several pools, and it was convenient, and it was just a beautiful hotel that we enjoyed in our off time. So I think it's really important to me to pick just the right hotel so that everyone's happy and they're well cared for and they feel like it's a special treat, you know, as opposed to just anywhere. So anyway, so we stayed at the Fairmont. So the first thing I'm going to tell you about, which I thought you particularly, Maria, would enjoy, and we did have this as a topic at a previous recording, is we did a walking food tour. And we talked about that before, that almost anywhere we go, at least with my group, and I hope your listeners will think about joining a walking food tour, because you get to see the area, you hear the history, and you get to taste the local foods. And they take you to four or five spots. So you're going to these little restaurants or cafes that are run by the locals. And so you get to really experience what those local foods are, more so than you might if you were just on your own. So the one, what stands out to me, there were two things I was going to mention to you. One is it's supposed to be like four different tastings or courses. And one of the courses was a popsicle, right? So In our minds, we're like, you know, popsicle. But the guy told us the story of this these two business partners who were friends from their childhood that created this company called Senior Paletta. And they started making these popsicles, and they now have 7 stores, you know, throughout Puerto Rico. And they source all local ingredients, which I'm sure you support. And they're all natural local ingredients, and they have like 48 flavors. So I just thought I would mention that's something you wouldn't necessarily know to stop there, right? You wouldn't know. So we had that. I think it was coconut or, you know, mango or some tropical flavor. And the other, we did several stops, but I wonder if you know of the food called mofongo. Do you know of that?
I've heard of it. I don't know exactly what it is, and I was just going to ask you if you could specifically tell us of dishes that could be local to Puerto Rico. So, what is mofongo actually?
So mofongo is a very popular staple dish of Puerto Rico. And how we were introduced to it was we went to this restaurant for what was going to be our main course. You know, we sat at tables and they brought us like a bowl with a wooden, like a mortar and pestle, you know, like a wooden piece to grind with. And they brought us all the ingredients and we actually sort of made our own mofongo, which I'll tell you what it's made of. The base of it is plantains. And they cook the plantains, they roast them or they boil them. And then there's like salt and garlic, broth and olive oil. And we like mashed up our own mofongo, but there was chicken served with it. But so these are the things, these are the memories,
So is
right?
mofongo a side dish? It's a side
Yes.
dish. Oh, okay. So it's the plantains mashed with garlic, and did you say olive oil or
Yeah,
oil?
olive oil, garlic, salt, broth. I'm sure there's varieties of it, but it's like I think it's made in every home. You know, they really wanted us to sort of get the flavor, no pun intended, of Puerto Rico. So, you know, that's why you know, I just mentioned it because like that was my memory as I was preparing for this. I thought, "Oh my gosh, you know, we were grinding our own dish." So they made it so experiential, you know.
That's
So
great. So any other local dishes to San Juan?
The appetizer was almost like an empanada.
Oh, I
It
love.
was a different restaurant also, and it was, you know, like the dough of that an empanada might have, and then with a filling, which I'm sure they vary. I think ours was like a vegetable filling, but I'm sure they vary, and that came as the appetizer. So what might, I don't know, empanada is more of like maybe a Spanish food, I guess. So that was that's the other one that I recall. So that was sort of our food experience. And for the travelers, we did a lot of different activities in San Juan, more even than we usually might, but there was so much available. And that's why I wanted to bring it to you and your listeners, because you don't necessarily think of this, right? You say, I'm going to go to San Juan and sit on the beach. There was so much there. So one of the highlights that we did was there's a very famous rainforest there in Puerto Rico called El Yunque, like Junque is how it's spelled. And it was, El Yunque with a J. And it was probably a 45-minute ride from where we were in San Juan, but I hired, we were 19 women, we were a big group. I hired a driver, you know, and a van, and he did the tour, and it was spectacular. It was beautiful waterfalls of a huge height. You know, the pictures we have are these big waterfalls, and the women are this big, you know, standing in front of it. So it's, you know, like just magnificent. And the other thing there was they had a beautiful river that we could go in. They told us to wear our bathing suits. And as we waded into this river, and it was a little cold, but we waded in, there was a way you could swim up to, there were some rocks that you could swim a ways to. And a few of us did. I didn't, but a few of the women, the stronger swimmers, and it wasn't a current, but we did it. When they got there, all of these yellow butterflies, like a, I don't know what you call a group of butterflies, a flock of butterflies appeared
Goodness.
flying over their heads. I mean, it
That's
was just,
beautiful. Oh my goodness.
we have pictures and video of it. It was so unexpected and beautiful. So highly recommend the rainforest.
The rainforest, definitely. Any other places? So now this is like all near in the area of San Juan, correct?
It is, but it was like a 45-minute to maybe an hour Right. So you have to be a little adventurous, you know, but we had heard so much. I made it an optional excursion because I didn't know if everybody would be like game for it, but almost everybody went because when are you going to see a rainforest?
Oh, exactly. That's not a typical thing. Any other highlights? We don't have too much more time, so any other?
Okay, I'll go fast. Yeah, we did do a harbor boat ride because I always like the women to see where we are from the water. It's such a different perspective. So we did a harbor boat ride. There's many of them. And it was just so much fun and so great to see it all and experience the harbor from the water. And then lastly, we hired a salsa dance instructor
Oh,
to
well,
come to
that's
the
awesome.
hotel and teach our group how to salsa dance. And
Oh, that
we
sounds
have
like fun.
video. It was
Oh,
wonderful.
that's great.
So I hope that gives you like the flavor of what are some of the things that people, it doesn't have to be women, it could be couples, it could be men, it could be families, what they can do instead.
Exactly. That sounds like a great trip. Now, what time of the year did you go there?
We went in early February because we were
February.
trying to sort of escape the winter in the
Yes.
Boston.
So I'm
Yeah.
sure the weather was probably great there.
We were so fortunate. Yes, it was in the 80s. Every day it was spectacular.
That's great. That's great, Amy. Thanks so much. And hopefully we'll see you again with another trip. That's Amy Guber with Wandering Women. Thanks again, Amy.
Discover the secrets of authentic Italian cuisine with the Basic Art of Italian Cooking book series. These beautifully crafted cookbooks take you on a culinary journey throughout Italy. And you can get your copy today at marialiberati.com or artoflivingprimamedia.com or your favorite bookstore. Taste the passion, savor the flavors, because cooking is an art.
And my special guest today is Jessie Sierra Ross. She's the author of Seasons Around the Table. And I've invited her. She's been on before, but she's going to share some tips with us for meal planning for back to school, which is such a sometimes a stressful time for parents as well as kids. Jessie, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So yeah, as I mentioned, I know it's sometimes really stressful for parents. Having to plan out their meals, but making sure that the kids eat healthy. Any tips on meal planning?
Absolutely. And I can tell you from experience as a working mother of three young boys, it can get pretty hairy out there. And it's very tempting to go onto, you know, any online site and have meals delivered, but we can do this together. So one of my prime tips is actually to sit down the weekend before and write down what you plan on making. Make it simple. Think about 30-minute meals and also meals and recipes where the leftovers can be transformed into a new dinner. So for me, I start with the recipes. I could do something like a roasted chicken one night, and the leftovers will then be turned into a leftover chicken and green Thai curry filled with vegetables and served over rice. Then that same, you know, brothy chicken can be turned to a great chicken soup. It's all about thinking about convenience and ease, because going into the work week, we don't want to be stressing about dinner. We also want to make sure we go into that grocery store armed. And by armed, I mean a grocery list. We want to concentrate on shopping around the perimeter of the grocery store, because that's where all the healthy stuff is, the vegetables, the fruits, the meats, the proteins, and the dairy, and just a little bit on the inside aisles, because no one can go without a treat. But you want to focus on healthy, bright colored ingredients such as bell peppers and broccoli and greens, organic, well-cut meats to make those dinners.
That's great. Yeah, I think it's important that it's great that you were talking about, you know, using actual leftovers from a meal and turning it into something else. That's really an important tip, because there's so many ways people can do that, and they just waste food and they don't realize they can do all kinds of creative things with leftovers. So any other tips, like recipes or anything like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So recently, my boys have been loving this creamy pasta sauce over any pasta that you have in your pantry. But we snazz it up with additions, and it could be leftover chicken thighs that have been grilled the night before. Could be sauteed button mushrooms with sun-dried tomatoes and shallots. But really, this cream sauce that comes together in about 10 minutes is the perfect vehicle for any sort of protein and veggies. And the kids love it kind of plain without any extra spices on it. But for the adults, it's also there, and you can easily adapt it to many different palates. So for me, it's finding those quick and easy, but also versatile recipes that make my week a lot less stressful.
That's great. So is this the recipe we're going to share on my blog, the creamy pasta sauce? Or okay, great.
Yeah, so we're going to do a creamy mushroom pasta with sun-dried tomatoes, but feel free to mix and match. That's the uniqueness of cooking, it's the creativity.
Yes, I was just going to say, not all kids like mushrooms. A lot of kids do, but if they don't, I'm sure you can mix and match, whatever veggies the kids like. That sounds great. Any last minute tips for us before we go?
Remember that mealtimes are chances to bond with your kids. It's so crazy out there. We have after school activities, we have work meetings after hours, we have a big social life. But that moment that you sit down at the table with your children for dinner, whether it's a full-fledged hour meal or a half an hour quick chicken Thai curry, that's the chance to really connect with your children and have a great dinner at the same time.
Exactly. That's great. Jesse, tell people where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me online at straighttothehipsbaby.com or join my new newsletter with exclusive recipes, Jessie Sierra, The Last Bite on Substack.
Great. Thanks again, Jesse, and hopefully we'll see you in the near future with some more great tips. Thank you.
Hi, this is Maria Liberati, wishing you a happy summer and hoping that along with indulging in great food and drink, you'll also indulge in my book series. If you'd like to take a trip to Italy without leaving your armchair, get a copy of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking Holidays and Special Occasions, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking Da Vinci Style. Peace, love, and pasta.
And my special guest today is Carol Kinnear from the Old Farmer's Almanac. And of course, the 2025 version or edition is out now, Carol.
Yes, it is. It's out on it's today is our on sale date.
Oh, there you go. Okay, great. So I know it's my go-to book for like the weather and my planting and gardening and all of that. And I know many, it's the same for many people, but I think what we were going to try to talk today about is end of summer and maybe fall planting and gardening and maybe how the weather is affecting that. I noticed in the 2025 edition, it did say that it's going, we're going to, they're predicting a milder winter. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, that's kind of, it's good to hear anyway, but what do we and of course we're talking about the whole country, so weather is varies in different parts, but as far as end of summer, like gardening and planting for fall, any tips or ideas for that?
Absolutely. Well, I think the bigger picture is that, there's a warming trend. We're having longer growing seasons, really, no matter where you are. This was again, I think it was July was the hottest July on record since we've been keeping records. Of course, we know there's been other weather patterns, but so that's kind of a boon for some growers. The bigger picture being that we might have more time to plant things, and certainly, those of us even in northern areas are able to do fall crops of greens and radishes and some really, quick growing beans. You can put a cover on some of these things and grow well into December. Certainly, kale is a crop that we see even up here, into December because it takes a real killing frost. So it depends. I think we're seeing a lot of extreme weather events, and really the ones that are cause the most consternation for people are the flooding, because the rainfall will come so hard and so fast. It's not normal. It's getting to be the new normal. But growers, especially just our home gardeners, we depend on the weather to keep our things going. On a drought year, it's so tough to keep everything watered. A lot of people have turned to containers, and again, that's a watering situation in any kind of a dry weather. So I think just overall, we always go on with our weather team to gear up for our on sale and talking to people. And we're really looking at all these trends. Both Canada and the US updated their normal temperatures. They do a 30-year average. And of course, the hardiness zones all changed this year. So that's just kind of the bigger landscape for growers. And in the almanac, every year we have, like we have for 233 years, planting tables, like frost dates and when to plant your peas and when to get make sure that everything's harvested. But the nice thing is almanac.com, our website, has thousands of pages, but you can go and just put your zip code in and find out planting dates, especially for fall if you're going to get that second crop of greens in or putting some root vegetables in. So those things are really site specific, and we're finding that those microclimates are really people have to know kind of their area, because you could have a difference in elevation of a few feet, and that's going to mean frost in one person's yard and not in another.
And another, yes. Yeah, I know. Well, the even I'm in the Northeast, and I have, say, like relatives and friends that might live just like 40 minutes away. And we have a variety of weathers. We don't always have the same exact thing.
Exactly.
So I guess, yes, that definitely is something that you have to look at. But that's really helpful that you could put in your zip code then and get an idea of what you can plant. I was actually surprised this year because I ended up I just because of a lot of other things, I wasn't able to plan everything I wanted. So I planted some things like later in the season, and I'm like, nah, they're not. Well, I have lots of things that are grew really, really quickly, and they're still growing. And I guess if it's going to be mild, I'll be able to keep that stuff growing for a little longer this year.
You've really hit on one of the tips that I keep telling people is because the season's longer, it means you can plant later. Like I noticed that my tomatoes had no blight this year, but I didn't get them in until, goodness gracious, probably the second week of June, and they're beautiful, like, and they're happy. And the same thing, I planted some later greens, and I think that's a good message for people, is that, you know, we get so excited, especially for those of us who have a real winter. We want to get that stuff in the ground. But if you, and you can, you know, I start a lot of things indoors like other people probably. And, but I think that idea that you didn't miss it. You know, if you didn't get your stuff in the ground by Memorial Day weekend, you still have several weeks that you can be putting stuff in the ground and be happy with, right?
Yes, you do now, where it wasn't once it was not the case, and it was like, oh darn, I missed it. But now you could still, plant things.
So I think
So
that's a big tip. Like, so even for next year, which we're predicting a warmer summer overall, and then, you know, what we're seeing is what our weather guys call like a summer hangover, which tends to be in that mid-Atlantic area, and then a winter hangover, which affects spring up in the prairies of both Canada and the US. So they get a later winter, but again, they're getting a longer fall. So it measures out. But I think that's a great message for people, is that fall is alive and well for gardening, whether you're throwing in a crop now or you did a later summer, you know, you're going to be getting great harvests into the fall.
To
So
the
that's a good one. But I think container gardening is the one we see that's really grown the most for people. And it really makes it accessible because they don't need to have a big piece of land, you know, and you can have that control. So say you've got a nice bush cherry tomato or cucumbers you started in even now or, you know, in July on your deck, you can bring that inside, you know. And so we're seeing a lot of people enjoy their plants longer and make them mobile.
Exactly. Yeah, and it provides a solution, like you said, for people that don't have land that they can grow stuff in. They can just do it. You can, because you can just put it in a container and bring it in, as you said.
Yes, so many varieties. We name quite a few in this issue about, you know, kind of dwarf varieties are great for pots, and you can get tomatoes, cucumbers, you can get all your salad favorites that you could grow, you know, in a pot in a smaller size, even things like citrus. And you know, they're really, people are loving having those year round. And so, you know, when you say fall gardening, I think people are just saying throwing out the seasons out the window. You know, a simple set of grow lights, and you know, we do it in our hallway here at the Almanac, because it's we get dark around 5 in November. So having that is nice. And I had beans all winter. It was hilarious. So,
Oh my goodness.
you know, just one little set of grow lights, it really makes it a difference, I think, in mood, and just having that beautiful growing thing beside you creating food.
That's great. That's great. All great tips. So I guess the tip would be you can start planning even if you think you missed the season and go on to. So Carol, we're almost out of time, but tell people what's the website, or can they'll just put in the Old Farmer's Almanac online and it will take them there, or is there?
Absolutely. Almanac.com is where we are. You can find planting pages, weather, sky watching, everything, you know, that's really up to the minute, and by zip code, which is super nice on the website. Our book covers North America and has a lot of extra features that aren't on the web. But for real hardcore growers, you can find a lot of that information on almanac.com.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for being here, and hopefully
You're welcome.
we'll have you back another time. I love the Almanac. It's like my favorite go-to book. So
Thanks, Maria.
thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for joining in and listening to the Maria Liberati Show, and thanks to my special guest this week. And just want to mention that you can join me for my four-course wine pairing dinner at the Italian restaurant, Bacco Italian Restaurant, on Tuesday, October 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. It will be a four-course wine pairing dinner paired with six wines, and the dinner is based on my award-winning book, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style. Reservations are limited. You can call the restaurant at 215-699-3360. That's 215-699-3360, and make your reservation since reservations are limited. And a reminder that I will be doing the Taste of Italy tour at the Bucks County Community College in Newtown, Pennsylvania, for their continuing education department. Each week, we will be concentrating on a specific region in Italy. We'll be doing four different sessions, cooking demos and sampling and recipes and sharing stories. So it will be a fun event. So call the Bucks County Community College in Newtown, Pennsylvania. You can look them up online as well, their continuing education department, and tell them you want to register for the Taste of Italy tour. And as always, you can find me at marialiberati.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Chef Maria Liberati, on Twitter or X at Maria Liberati, on Instagram at Maria Liberati, and we sometimes do cookbook giveaways on Instagram. So follow me there. On Pinterest at Maria Liberati, on Vimeo, you'll find videos of some of the cooking shows I did in Italy, and some here as well, and video of some of the podcasts and radio shows. That's vimeo.com. At Maria Liberati. You can also find the Maria Liberati Show videos on YouTube. That's the name of our YouTube channel, The Maria Liberati Show. So you can find us there as well. And you can find my Gourmand World award-winning book series on Amazon, on Kindle, anywhere books are sold. You can also find them at marialiberati.com. And if you have a problem finding the book or looking for one of the editions, because there's 10 books in my series, you can always email us at info@marialiberati.com. And I want to leave you with this thought. It's a quote by Emily Bronte. Since fall is almost here, summer's gone, and we're looking for fall. Every leaf speaks bliss to me, fluttering from the autumn tree. So beautiful. Until next week, peace, love, and pasta.